Good evening. One of my favorite antiphons was in morning prayer this morning, and it goes like this: Wisdom of God, be with me. Oh, is that work in me? So I need your help during this homily. So whenever I say, what shall I do? You say, Wisdom of God, be with me. Oh, is that work in me? So let's practice. What shall I do? Oh, is that work in me? So in the first reading, we have the prayer of Solomon. Solomon is the second son of King David. The word Solomon, or the name Solomon, means peaceful or friend of God. It is believed that Solomon was about 15 years old when he was chosen to succeed David as king. So you can imagine what it must be like to lead a kingdom at age 15. You would have no experience with that. So Solomon offers a sacrifice to God, asking, what shall I do? Wisdom of God, be with me. Oh, is that work in me? So one night, God appears to him in a dream, and he asks Solomon what he wanted from God. And you guessed it, he wanted wisdom in order to better rule and guide his people. And God rewards Solomon because he did not ask for riches or for power or to punish his enemies. In this reading today, Solomon acknowledges the great gift he's received from God. And he says, I prayed and I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. There was that expectation of when he prayed that he would get what God had in mind for him. And what a great gift it turned out to be. He says it was greater and richer and more splendor and beautiful than anything he could have imagined. And he said, all good things come to me with her, meaning the spirit of wisdom, and countless riches at her hands. If we have the wisdom of God, everything else will follow. What a great question to ask of God. What shall I do? Wisdom of God, be with me. Always at work in me. Now in the second reading, the author is answering the question, what shall I do? He's affirming that the wisdom of God is also contained in sacred scripture. He says it is living and effective, meaning we can really apply it to our lives. And it's able to cut through the confusion of our lives about what shall we do? Wisdom is able to see clearly when our hearts and minds are not able to. It reveals truth in our lives, how to live according to God's plan for us as sons and daughters of God, principles that we can apply to the situations in our life. And some of these situations have been around as long as humanity has: pride, selfishness, envy, jealousy, miscommunication, anger, the search for power and possessions. But some situations are new. How about human cloning? What about the wise use of the resources of the planet? What about artificial intelligence? Yet the principles of God's creation and love, the dignity of life, the respect for the human person and the family, being stewards of God's gifts, can be applied to most situations that we face. You all know what the word Bible means, right? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. But the Bible is really a love story between God and us. That love story may reveal things about ourselves and our motivations and our priorities in life that we don't necessarily want to hear. But if God is love, then we need to listen to and address the messages addressed to our lives. And so we should read scripture and study it and apply it to our lives and glean the wisdom from it. In our gospel today, we have the story of the man who runs up to Jesus and kneels down and he asks, what shall I do? What's that? We think perhaps that he had witnessed a previous story in this chapter of Mark, the blessing of the children. And there Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And the idea of the kingdom of God, of eternal life, was intriguing to him. Now, it was unusual that he called Jesus good teacher, because God is the source of all goodness and love. So one did not give humans that title. It was simply teacher or master. And Jesus replies, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And I'm thinking that Jesus knew what was in the man's heart. Maybe the questions are really directed to us. Do we call Jesus good by the way we live? Have we observed all the commandments from our youth, or even today or this week? But the man was lacking in one thing to the question, "What shall I do?" Wisdom of God, be with me. Always at work in me. Oh, you're right, the wisdom of God. The man was not completely at fault here because, like us, he was a product of his upbringing. In the Jewish tradition, the success of a person and their possessions were a sign of God's blessing on them. A pious person was expected to prosper and then serve as a benefactor to those in need. So Jesus was asking the man to divest himself of all his goods once and for all, and so deprive himself the role of benefactor. As noble a role as that may be, Jesus was challenging the man to admit that there are even greater blessings than being rich in this life and playing the benefactor. Here's where priorities of life come into play. There is nothing wrong with possessions by themselves. We all live in a pretty nice country with lots of conveniences. I came to appreciate them more this last summer when I visited South Africa. In one block were nice houses, in the next block, shacks made of rusted corrugated steel, no floor, no windows, no door, wood fires open for heating and for cooking. The problem with possessions or power or fame is when they distract us from the real goal, unity with God. Jesus is saying when we devote too much thought and energy to accumulating and preserving our possessions, we can lose our focus and attention on eternal life with God. Now, Jesus is also addressing the false idea that we need to win salvation. If I do things, I will become worthy, and God will love me, or save me, or maybe at least make me a little less guilty. Our relationship with God is not a reward-based system that somehow we have to earn his love and grace. Rather, it should be, I am, I have, I do. I am a child of God. I have been forgiven. Therefore, I do things for God. In a little more detail, I am a child of God and I am loved. We are loved by our creation, by our baptism as priest, prophet, and king. Nothing can change that dignity that we have, that identity that we have. I have been forgiven. This is what Jesus came for the forgiveness of sins and to conquer death, to blaze a path to heaven for us. Of course, God wants us to desire this forgiveness by acknowledging our sins and asking God for his forgiveness. We do this in the sacrament of reconciliation, especially in reciting the act of contrition. Now, knowing who we are and being reconciled, we can properly do things to give glory to God, to bring others to him, to learn to do God's will, not ours, to acknowledge the dignity in others, and to forgive others. The young man had a great desire by asking, "What shall I do?" Wisdom of God, be with me. Always at work in me. But he needed the wisdom of God to see the bigger picture, the higher goal, unity with God and belief in his Son, Jesus Christ. He needed to see that salvation is a gift that comes from that unity. And we need God to do the impossible in us, and he can. What shall I do? God, be with me. Oh, is that work in me? Amen.